Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be an ideal way to connect and learn together. Today's program presents a very unique experience for SPIRIT. As you noticed, we have made the session at 12 noon instead of our typical 11 a.m. This is because this is our first hybrid program. We are online internationally through Zoom, as we usually are, and also on site at the Young Israel of Hollywood Fort Lauderdale with their Empty Nester program. We thank Rabbi Yosef Weinstock and the synagogue for hosting this first hybrid event. I was hoping, really hoping, to be there on site to host the program in beautiful sunny Florida. But unfortunately, Omicron fears have kept me in cold and windy New York. Hopefully, perhaps the next time. Today's session will be on Tu B'Shvat, which will be celebrated on Monday, January 17th. Our presenter, Rabbi Edward Davis, Rabbi Emeritus of the Young Israel of Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, has presented several times for SPIRIT, first on site many years ago in Boca, and more recently at the beginning of the pandemic with Rebbetzin Meira Davis on grandparenting from afar, which you can find in the SPIRIT archives. It is my pleasure and honor to turn the SPIRIT forum over to Rabbi Davis. Thank you everyone for joining us both virtually and on site.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy. Just to remind everybody here, whatever noise you make is picked up because this is a hybrid presentation. It's live and it's Zoomed internationally. So give it a shot. Welcome you to this presentation on Tu B'Shvat. And there's a certain irony here that they're asking a rabbi in South Florida to speak on Tu B'Shvat because we don't have dormant stage of development of trees. And Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot. It's the new year for trees because trees go through a period of dormancy and they look like they died, shed their leaves, and all of a sudden buds appear. The budding of the tree is Tu B'Shvat. It's the beginning of springtime in Israel. So what am I doing here? I don't have trees that are dormant. In fact, I once had an opportunity to buy a tree. We established a swing set in the backyard for the kids to play on, and I needed trees for shade because that's one thing that we require in South Florida because of the brutality of the heat. So I went to a nursery and the man said to me, I want to point out to you, this tree is unique. This is the only tree that sheds its leaves in South Florida. So I told him, get another sucker. I'm finished with raking leaves. I'm here in South Florida. I pledge that I will never shovel snow again or rake leaves again. So get somebody else to buy that tree. I'm not looking for it. So you should know that our dormancy doesn't exist here. And yet I'm speaking on Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot, which is indicated in the Mishnah as a source of a halachic sense, because tallying up and dispensing of maaser and taking care of the giving a separation of the fruits of trees, that mark of the calendar is Tu B'Shvat. So there's a difference of opinion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says Tu B'Shvat is actually Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Beit Hillel says, no, it's the 15th of Shvat. So, I mean, what was the real give and take between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Were they really horticulturists? Were they really knowledgeable about the development of budding and of the fruits? Well, interestingly enough, the Perushim on that differ, and they say that, yes, it was that, because Eretz Yisrael is hilly, and those trees that are in the valley would be coming out first. They would bud first. That was Beit Shammai's opinion. Trees in the hills with higher elevation are budding later. So that was Beit Hillel's interpretation. That'll be 15th. And the Yishuv, the settlement of Israel in the early part of the 20th and the latter part of the 19th century, they recognized that it was the vegetation and the growth of trees were primarily in the hills and not in the valleys. So therefore, they felt that the Mishnah was correct in poskening according to Beit Hillel. I will take a totally different approach as to what the significance of this disagreement between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai has to be. I don't believe it has anything to do with the tree's development. And I'll tell you why. Okay. So it's all involved with Eretz Yisrael, what are we doing outside of Eretz Yisrael? These laws and customs aren't really applicable to us in Chutz La'aretz. The only manifestation really of Tu B'Shvat outside of Eretz Yisrael is that we skip Tachanun on the morning of Tisha B'Av, of Tu B'Shvat. So if that's the case, you know, in a show like ours, let's be honest, if you skip Tachanun, for whatever reason, the Balabati, those are the congregants in the minyan, they look and they say, what's going on? What's a simcha? What's a simcha? What happened? So the truth is, in a show like ours, the simcha really is that we skip Tachanun. That's it. What's Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat is it's on the calendar, so we skip Tachanun, and that's about it. So it became a custom in Chutz La'aretz to eat fruits of Eretz Yisrael, possibly even those that would require us to say a Shechianu. That would be nice. It was the only time of year that I actually saw buckwheat, and we grew up on that, but it's kind of waned. I think I'm a dinosaur now, that I actually enjoy buckwheat. In the old days, buckwheat was very popular because it was the perfect travel fruit. It didn't spoil. So it was good to pack in your bag and take with you as you were traveling. But today, I don't know, people say it's too hard. Actually, fresh buckwheat is soft. There is something called fresh buckwheat, which is soft. And there's also another character trait of buckwheat, which you might not realize. If you're familiar with diamonds, precious stones, diamonds are measured in carats, C-A-R-A-T. So what is the weight of a carat? It's the seed of the buckwheat. The seed of the buckwheat is uniform, and it's the same weight. So they used, I don't know how this happened, by the way. I have no idea. I learned this because there's a diamond museum in Tel Aviv in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have an hour to kill, go to the diamond museum in Tel Aviv, and you'll learn about carats being developed by buckwheat. Okay, so that's the sum total of a buck's retreat. And in the beginning of my career, I was in Richmond, Virginia, all of 23 years old, and I couldn't locate Buxar without calling someone in New York to ship it to me. Until one of my congregants, who happens to work at Philip Morris, tobacco industry, says, "I hear you're looking for Buxar." I said, "It's true." He says, "We have Buxar." I said, "You do?" "Sure." Philip Morris uses Buxar ad hayom hazeh, even to this day, in their aromatic blends of pipe tobacco. So the next day in shul, he would hand me a whole, you know, bag full of Buxar that before they kibble it and use it in pipe tobacco. So see now I've educated you in terms of the uses of tobacco, of carob, and okay. In 1948, with the development of the State of Israel, it was a Zionist dream to reforest the land, and it propelled Tu B'Shvat into the forefront of a holiday to be reckoned with in Eretz Yisrael. And this was, all the kids would go out and plant trees on Tu B'Shvat. And it was really the marking of the spring season. So the spring came a little bit earlier then, because the rainy season in Israel is during the winter, and the rains began to subside, and the earth absorbed those waters, and it was the perfect time to plant. So the end of the rainy season and the beginning of the spring season was marked by Tu B'Shvat. And there was an old Jewish minig. This is what I love about investigating a topic like this. You do come across some very interesting minhagim that have nothing to do with Tu B'Shvat. What's the minig? When a boy was born in a family, they used to plant a cedar tree. When a girl was born, they planted a pine tree. And when a girl and boy got married, they would cut branches from those trees to build the chuppah. Isn't that very sweet? I've never heard of that. Okay, but it exists. In a pasuk in Dvarim Perchof, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, man is likened to a tree of the field. So here's my give and take in terms of Rosh Hashanah, the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai were not arguing over their agriculture. They were arguing over the significance of Tu B'Shvat in terms of a commentary on our lives or the history of the Jewish people. Rosh Chodesh comes at a time of darkness at night because the moon disappeared. And Rosh Chodesh is declared when a little sliver of the new moon appears in the sky. Well, the 15th of the month, the moon is a full moon. So it blossoms completely. And this is the development of the Jewish people, that in our history, we go through ups and downs. There are times in our history that we almost disappear, like in the times of the Holocaust. And then all of a sudden, there's a rejuvenation, and trees are planted, and they develop, and then we become full bloom. Now, I would say Beit Hillel is correct, because we blossom. And that brings me to Tchiyat HaMetim, because When a person experiences the death in a family, well, let me go through this a little differently. A person asked Rav Sadia Gaon, Rebbe, he said, an 85-year-old man died. In the time of Tchiyat HaMitim, when he comes back to life, will he come back as an 85-year-old man? Or will he come back in the apex of vitality as a 25-year-old? You know what Rav Sadia answered him? Rav Sadia said to him, it's enough, I believe, in Tchiyat HaMitim. The answer to your question, we will find out the answer together when we both come back to life. You know, some wise men are actually very wise. And I thought that was a brilliant answer because this is what it's all about. The moon is the history of the Jewish people. We wane, we almost disappear, and then all of a sudden we become alive again. This is how it is, how it exists. So is Beit Hillel correct or Beit Shammai correct? Do we take note and mark the calendar with the first bud, with the first appearance of the future? Or we wait till the future really blossoms? And that's Beit Hillel saying. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, recorded in the Gemara and Shabbos, he instructed Rav Chiya. This was a time when the Romans prohibited Rosh Chodesh. They were they were prohibiting Rosh Chodesh. So Rabbi Yehuda told Rav Chiya, sanctify the new month. And instead of reporting back to me, send me a coded message. What's the coded message? Go to the hilltop and sing David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David, the King of Israel, is alive and eternal. So this is what we do at Kiddush Levana. We stand, we watch the new moon, and then we sing David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. This is from the Gemara. This is Rav Chiya. King David is compared to a moon. Am Yisrael is compared to the moon. And it's as if we died numerous times in our history, only to come back again. And that's what Tu B'Shvat is really celebrating. The rejuvenation and rebirth of the Jewish people. And we continue, and sometimes we're not cognizant of this message of Tu B'Shvat. When the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch brings it down, if you don't see a person, a friend, you don't see him for over a year, how do you greet him? You say a bracha, mechayei ha-meitim. The person is reborn. This brings me to a point of my presentation to tell you about a Rav Nosson Milikovsky. Am Umedina, this book. This is from my rare book collection of my personal library at home. Because I don't think you'll find this in print. Rav Nosson Milikovsky died in 1935 at the age of 54. He got smicha from Volozhin at the age of 18. So he was a child prodigy. And he was an ardent Zionist. In the early 1900s, he came to Eretz Yisrael, was a menahel, was a head of school of a Jewish day school. And then in 1908, he went to Germany, had the same position there, met his wife, Sarah, and they got married. He returned to Eretz Yisrael. He was building up his credentials in the education, the chinuch of Am Yisrael with Zionist intentions. He was discovered and with certain sponsors, including Jabotinsky, he was sent to America to speak in the 1920s, to go on a tour. And I'm going to share with you a Dvar Torah from Nossa Milikovsky, and was given in New York in 1924. It's based on a Maimer Chazal in Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, the third parak of Pirkei Avot. Hamahalach baderech, a Jew is on the road, he's traveling. V'shoneh, and he's learning. U'mafsik b'mishnato, he stops his learning. V'omer, mana'eh ilanze, how beautiful is this tree? Mana'eh nirze, how beautiful is this field? Ma'aleh alav ha'katuv ki'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho. Scripture will say about this man that he's jeopardizing his very soul. What's so terrible? Now, the application that Rav Milikovsky used was, if you're traveling, the Jew in exile, he travels, and he learns Torah, but he stops and says, how beautiful it is in Hollywood, Florida. How beautiful it is in Muncie, New York, or Borough Park, or wherever Jews have settled and created many urban centers of Jewish learning outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ki'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho. He is really jeopardizing his soul because he's losing the goal of residing in Eretz Yisrael. I would add one thing to what he said. And that is, notice that the Mishnah says, Mana'eh ilanze, how beautiful is this tree? You see the tree, you see the beauty of the tree, and you're not learning what the tree teaches you. You're not learning Tchiyat HaMeiti. You're not learning the rejuvenation, the rebirth of the Jewish nation. You're not learning what the tree is teaching you. And just look at its beauty. Then that's when you're mitchayev b'nafsho. Let me fill the blank here and tell you a little bit about Nossa Milikovsky. He died in 1935, and there were two major maspidim eulogizers at his funeral. They were Rav Kook, who later in 1935 died himself. He was an older senior Rav, and he eulogized Rav Milikovsky, as did Rabbi Dr. Meir Bar Ilan. Bar Ilan, they named the university after him after he died. He died in the 1940s. The university started in the middle of the 50s. So he never saw Bar Ilan University, but it's named for him. But what you don't know is Bar Ilan, he Hebraicized his family name. His family name was Berlin. Meir Berlin was the youngest son of the Netziv. And he also learned at Volozhin. Rav Kook also learned at Volozhin, and they knew Rav Milikovsky from Volozhin. So those two were the major maspidim, the major eulogizers at Rav Milikovsky's funeral. Rav Milikovsky had 9 children. That's the end of the similarities between me and Rav Milikovsky. So he had 8 boys and 1 girl. Every one of them was brilliant and accomplished in the field of their choice. Many of them lived in Eretz Yisrael. Some moved out, some lived elsewhere. One was down here in South Florida. Changed his name from Milikovsky to Milo and made a fortune in the steel business. You have to be specific when you deal with certain people, STEEL, in the steel business. And the ones in Eretz Yisrael, they decided to Hebraicize their name. So they gave up on Milikovsky, but Nosson, Natan, they developed the Hebrew last name of Netanyahu. But Milikovsky is the grandfather of Bibi Netanyahu. And Bibi never met his grandfather. He was born after 1935. But he knew about him. And in fact, his handlers would tell him when he ran for prime minister in 1996, would tell him, anytime you speak to a religious audience, quote your grandfather. It'll go over better, which he did. This book was published by Rav Sadia Netanyahu, one of the eight boys, one of the eight sons, translating the Yiddish speeches into Hebrew and published it. I heard about it and could not find it at all. And I was in Eretz Yisrael. I went to Palm Rents Hebrew bookstore there in the middle of town on Hillel Street, in the middle of the city, went in, told him the whole story. He says, I'm going to find this book. Okay, sure. A couple days later, he calls me up and tells me I found it. There were two left in a warehouse in Tel Aviv. The book is published by Yedioth Ahronot. And Yedioth Ahronot is not known for publishing religious books. But because of the political connection of Rav Milikovsky, they published it. And that's why it's an unknown book. It's an unknown book. So if you ever come across it, pick one up. It's good. I don't think they're going to make a movie out of it, so you might as well pick it up. So this is Rav Milikovsky. He's an amazing individual. His wife came from a Zionist family, and she got a Yerusha from an uncle. And with that Yerusha, they were able to buy and develop a little farm, I think near Herzliya. And he lived his dream of having a little farm in living in Eretz Yisrael, which I must admit to you is amazingly encouraging, and it's a pick-me-up. It really is. My daughter-in-law, Sarah, her late grandfather of Yaakov Meizels, when he was one of the original settlers in Hashmonaim in Eretz Yisrael. And so I went to visit him. And he said, come out, see my garden. I'm an urban guy. I don't know from gardens. You know, I know Cholent, I don't know gardens. So, but I went out with him, and his zeal, his excitement was contagious. This is my fig tree. This is my olive tree. You know, he purposely planted the Shiva Minim in his backyard, but it was exciting, and I got a real charge at it. I really did. But this is what I'm trying to get across to you in terms of Am Umedina, that's the name of the book. It's an insight in learning what Tu Bishvat is really all about. It's a celebration of the rejuvenation of the Jewish people, that we came a nation. Shai Agnon, the famous author, he was a character in his own right. He made Aliyah in the 20s. Lived in a house in Talpiot. And one time he published a book, and a professor from Hebrew University was speaking on it. So he went incognito and sat in the back of the room to hear what the guy was going to say about his book. So they discovered him, some of the people in the audience, and said, what are you doing here? He said to them, I wanted to know what I wrote about. Well, that's typical of Agnon, because what he wrote about is sometimes in a dreamland. He won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1966. He shared that honor with the German Jewish poetess Nelly Sachs. So he had to appear in Europe to accept the award. And in his presentation in the acceptance, he got up and spoke. Typical Agnon. He said, "I was born in Buchach. Now Buchach is in the Ukraine. Then when he was born, it was Belarus. But I was born in Buchach. But that was just a dream. I was really born in Yerushalayim and taken into exile by Titus and the Romans." What a comment. What a comment that is. To recognize who you are and then to know who you are. We have a little story of our own personal biography. But how do you see yourself in a bigger scheme, in the bigger picture? And this is what Agnon was all about. He understood, he had a conception of who he was, and then there was another conception of being part of Eretz Yisrael, being part of the building of a nation. His house, you could visit the Agnon house. It's on Klausner Street. That's another story. Klausner was a rival who lived in the neighborhood to Agnon. They hated each other. And Klausner died first. And they renamed the street that Agnon's house was on was Klausner, Rehov Klausner. So he complained to the municipality. "How could you do this? Name the street that I live on to name it after Klausner." The municipality's answer to him was, "Mr. Agnon, what would you prefer? You prefer you should die first and we'll have Klausner live on Agnon Street? Is that what you want?" So that was the end of that. But he did make another comment to them. He said to them, "You know, in the 1920s, Yerushalayim residential area did not extend all the way to Talpiot, but it did get there eventually. And today it's mostly industrial." So anyway, he said, "The noise of the traffic is disturbing to my work." So you know what the municipality did for that? They closed the traffic car vehicles for that street, and they put up a sign: "No entry to all vehicles, rider at work." Okay, I don't know how long that lasted before it subsided. But anyway, I bring this out because Agnon's awareness is what I appreciate in terms of telling you the story of Tu Bishvat in a different vein. That it's not about trees. It's about what trees can represent in our lives. It's around what a tree can teach us. And going through a dormant stage and then finding revitalization, it's incredible. It's incredible to be able to stand up on your own two feet afterwards. A person who personified that was Menachem Begin. Not getting political here, not taking sides of any sort. But I saw a quote just recently when Senator Biden, years ago, addressed Prime Minister Begin and said, "If you don't do what we want, we're going to call off aid to Israel." And Begin said, "When we were in concentration camps, there was no American aid. When we started the State of Israel, there was no American aid. We made it, and we'll continue to make it, even if you cut off American aid. That was Begin, the strength necessary to be determined. Begin went through the dormant stage of trees and then came out on the other side, came out and flourished. And I think that he would appreciate my little talk here in terms of what this is all about. So next week, well, I don't know if we're getting Buxer. I was always, I had a guy here, you know, who supplied me with Buxer. So it's a different ball game now, but I'm looking forward to some next week. If they'll provide for us. But because I think there's another aspect of what we need to glean from Tu B'Shvat. No, it's not a major holiday. It's a very minor asterisk on the Jewish calendar. Is it that important? Probably not. But that's because we haven't given it the proper education. We see it as a physical thing. Let's plant trees. Instead of understanding that it speaks volumes to us in the history of the Jewish people. That's where I'm at. And that's why I wanted to share with you today. So I'm going to call quits. And thank you very, very much for coming. And thank you, Judy, for...
Thank you so much, Rabbi Davis. It was what I think we all learned so much, and I think we'll have a much better appreciation of Tu B'Shvat. I know you brought up a lot of points that I certainly hadn't heard of. I don't see any questions in the chat, unless anybody has anything, but I think you covered it all. You can ask in the presence of people at the shul if there's anything. So we could wait another second. And in the meantime, I'm going to make a few announcements. Next week, we will be back to completely virtual at 11 o'clock, our standard time. And we'll be having a session on a retrospective on Soviet Jewry. I think everybody remembers that from our youth. Somebody who was very involved with it will be speaking to us. So you'll be getting emails with the recording of today's recording, and you'll be able to register for that program. So I don't see anything else here, but I want to thank Rabbi Davis. I want to thank Young Israel of Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, and Rabbi Weinstock and Rabbi Freiberg for making all of the arrangements, making it so smooth. I want to wish everybody a good week, a good Shabbos, a happy Tu B'Shvat, because the next time we'll be seeing each other will be after Tu B'Shvat. Be safe, be healthy, and I look forward in the future, in a safer time, to actually doing a program in Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, on site as usual.
Okay, you're cordially invited.
I always enjoy. Okay, and regards to Rebbetzin Meira Davis, who I miss terribly, and I saw that she was online watching from Israel or from the States.
Yeah. From Israel.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful.
We were celebrating the birth of the latest grandson.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
Capacity of Savta.
Okay. Lots and lots of nachas. I know that it was a question whether she would get there with all the issues. So I'm glad to see that worked out. Thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today.
Bye-bye.